Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey, welcome to the hashtag AmWriting podcast. This is your co-host today, Jess. Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation. And you can find my writing at The New York Times, The Washington Post, and The Atlantic. And at Substack, at my own Substack, jessleahy.substack.com. And with me today is...
I'm Serena Bowen, author of many novels. My most recent one is called Thrown for a Loop, and it's perfect for those Winter Olympic vibes.
It is. I have actually been thinking as I watch the little skating videos that come up in my social media feed, I have been thinking a lot about that book because I'm not really a skating person, but having read that book now, suddenly it's on my mind. I feel like I know a little bit more about it now.
Awesome.
So today is a Nerd Corner episode, which is one of my favorite things in the world to do. And our topic today, would you like to introduce it?
I would. I got this email from a concerned reader, and I thought this is a great topic. Actually, it's a better topic for writers than readers. Because okay. She wrote, "Dear Serena, I try to purchase ebooks on the format that is most profitable for authors. Would you be so kind as to tell me which format is more author-friendly, Apple Books or Kindle?"
And by author-friendly, she means?
She was basically asking, how do you best get paid? And she was asking a very detailed question about platform. But I get this question in many formats, like, should I buy the ebook or the audio? Should I buy the paperback? And my answer to her would be very simple, which is that any legal means by which you are picking up my book, be it a library, seriously,
it's, because
there's a lot of illegal activity, but if you are getting it from the library or if you are getting it at any bookstore, I am thrilled. So that is always my answer to her, but it's still a fun topic because a lot of authors feel a little bit of discomfort with not being totally sure how they're being compensated in all of these places. And
can I just say how happy this question makes me? The very idea that someone is thinking about how can I read your book and have it reward you in the most profitable financial way. And what's fun about that is we can talk about it from a financial perspective, and we can also talk about it in terms of like pre-orders and all those other things. But I love the idea that people are thinking about it at all. So yay, readers.
Yay. Yeah. And I've always given an unsatisfying answer to that poor reader, because I don't want readers to sweat this, but authors kind of do need to sweat it. So that's why we're covering it today.
Can we start with the thing that I see people being worried about, which is the library? Feeling like if they're getting your book from the library, then they're not buying a copy, and that doesn't profit you, that doesn't feed you in any way. And I've seen this also about Libby and other sort of audio formats at the library. So let's get the library thing out of the way first, because I love the library and I don't want anyone ever to feel guilty about going to the library to get a book.
Okay. Well, this is actually a sort of topical, because libraries are putting a lot of pressure on, on the publishing industry to sell their ebooks cheaper. So what happens when a library wants to carry a hardcover or a paperback is they simply buy the book anywhere they might choose to. Sometimes they get a volume discount from a wholesaler, but it's pretty much exactly the transaction that you're imagining. They buy a book, they put it on the shelf, and, you know, when it wears out, maybe they'll buy another one, maybe they won't. End of story. But digital to libraries is a whole different thing. Digital to libraries, let's just say my latest ebook is priced at $11.99 to consumers, but to the library ebook price, it's a different license. The licenses that that copy can be read by one person at a time at the library, as you might expect. When it's returned, then someone else can borrow it. And these, the license deal between a publisher and the buyer goes through a channel like Libby, or there's some other, Overdrive and Libby are the same organization, but there's also Hoopla, and there's a few of these platforms, but the price is higher. So sometimes the price for my ebook for a library to buy could be like $50, and that allows them to license it out over and over and over and over again, kind of forever, and sometimes not even forever. Like sometimes those licenses expire after a certain number of reads, but we're not able to tell you how that works exactly, because those are private contractual agreements between publishers and libraries.
Mm-hmm. We also, you can see sometimes in formats, library edition is a format physically that libraries can get as well, and those tend to have a different price point. So keeping it that private then, that's really weird. I had no idea that that was a private issue.
Yeah, well, but here's the problem. This is what I want people to take away from this idea. One, publishers are pricing library ebook editions higher than regular ebooks. Mm-hmm. And some people, that makes some people really mad. But if they're pricing an ebook, it's a different license. It's not, here is your one copy. You can read mm-hmm. it as many times as you want. It's, here is one copy. You can bounce it around to the entire town, or in mm-hmm. my case, the entire state of New Hampshire, in perpetuity, forever, one at a time. So that's a different thing. But let me also say that Overdrive is owned by a private equity firm who takes, seriously, they take it, I believe, in many cases, they take half, up to half of the money in the first place. So before you get mad at Random House, please remember that half the money is going to private equity. So, you know, It burns me a little bit that people get so pissy with publishing at for selling a library copy for more when to me it should be more.
Or pissy at the library for feeling like they shouldn't have to wait, and why can't the library just buy more licenses?
Right, and those licenses are expensive. There's a couple of models of library, and when you check out a book at Libby, you have no way of knowing which model is at work, whether it's right. the pay per read or whether it's one of these perpetual copies. And again, readers shouldn't fuss about that. But sometimes the paycheck to an author for one of these library copies is really high. So when readers worry like, oh, I shouldn't borrow it from the library, it's actually not true. Like, go ahead. Especially if you are recommending books to your library, then you have done that author a service, and that yep. is great.
It's fantastic. I love it. Okay, so let's move on from libraries to just general formats that you can get a book in, and where they get and where people can get it. Where how would you like to order this?
Right. So we could start with hardcovers.
Okay.
Everybody knows that a hardcover's price is higher than a paperback.
Yeah, I have recently bought hardcovers, like not a fancy coffee table book, but hardcovers that are, you know, $32.99, $35, that kind of thing.
Well, you cheapskate, because I bought my husband one for Christmas that was $50 as I shuddered.
Really?
And I bought it. It's a really doorstop of a book, though. I bought it from bookshop.org. And so I guess some, you know, angel got its wings or something, because I mm-hmm. bought a full price hardcover for the husband at $50. Mm-hmm. So anyway, a hardcover costs more, let's call it $30 on average right now. Authors also, strangely, authors get a higher percentage of a hardcover's cover price than a paperback. So one can almost state with certainty that if you buy a hardcover, you are paying the author more than a softcover. So we're talking the 10 to 15% of the cover price range, meaning that when you buy a hardcover that costs $30, you are paying the author $3 to $4.50 on average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in paperback land, as you well know, because you've had both hardcovers and paperbacks, the price is lower. It was $15 just recently, and now is really creeping towards 20 on mm-hmm. everything. And the payout, the royalty rate, is up usually around 7.5%. So that's quite a bit lower. 7.5% on a $20 book is only $1.50. Most of my books are paying me less than $1.50 on a paperback sold. So I'm really happy to sell paperbacks, but it's my worst format in terms of what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So hardcover, paperback, what about audio?
I just want to say that we're covering traditional books right now. So when we get to self-pub, it's different. Okay. Audio is usually a better deal for authors at this point. It's usually above, it's between hardcover and ebooks mm-hmm. for traditionally published authors, like super rough estimate, $3 to $4. But remember, there's something interesting about the way that audiobooks are compensated, or I'm sorry, are paid for. So if you buy one full price, then that's absolutely going to be a lot of profit for the author. But almost nobody does that. Most people are mm-hmm. using a credit of some kind, mm-hmm. often audio right. plan. Like a credit at Audible does not cost. It costs less than a paperback and it costs less than a hardcover for the reader, but the author is still actually getting a pretty decent chunk of that money.
It's funny. I have, so we have an audio subscription both at Audible and at Libro.fm. I love uh-huh. them both. And I ask my family when you're at one of those locations to look at the price and decide whether it's more or less than, I don't know, let's say $11.50 per title.
Right.
So that you can decide, we should pay cash for this because it's on sale for $9, or right. we should use our credit. We max out our credits. We have a family of book listeners. But the nice thing about Libro.fm is you're benefiting independent booksellers. And if you use Audible, then, you know, that's a whole other, you're benefiting the Zon.
Yeah. Libro.fm is kind of the bookshop.org of audio.
Right. Right.
They're not exactly the same thing. They're not owned by the same people, et cetera, but they both benefit in a absolutely real way. Mm-hmm. Brick and mortar bookstores who are basically cut a check from these places right. when people use them.
And I mentioned to you what I made a bit of a gaffe. Someone asked on Threads, what is the essential audiobook that everyone should be listening to right now? And the book that my entire family just adored in audio was Project Hail Mary. And someone reminded me, oh, but you can't get that at Libro FM. It's not a book that's available anywhere other than Audible. So Amazon is the only way to get that book. And that's really lucrative for them if they have a huge, you know, whether it's sometimes they also have like sort of podcasty type productions that are Audible exclusives. But getting a book like Project Hail Mary that everyone knew was going to be a big hit in audio, that's extremely lucrative for them because it's the only place you can get it.
Yeah. So the reason this happens is that Audible Studios is an Audible production company.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a publisher, so it's a platform, but they are also a publisher, and they have some beautiful studios in Newark, New Jersey, where a lot of these audiobooks are made, but they're also recorded all over the world. And Audible Studios books tend to only be available on their own platform, and also often on Apple Books because of a long-standing relationship. So it's possible that actually, most Audible Studios titles are also for sale on Apple Books.
Got it. Okay. Do we want to move on to digital e-readers?
Yeah. So here's where the Wild West really kicks in.
Here's where things get exciting.
Right. When you buy an ebook for about $12 on any place like Apple, Amazon, Kobo, or Nook, which is Barnes & Noble, the vendor, the platform itself, takes $3.60, no matter who published the book, usually. Mm-hmm. And if the book is traditionally published, the author gets something like $2.10. But if you borrow that book from Kindle Unlimited or Kobo Plus, then the author usually gets a little bit less money, unless the book is as long as a Tolstoy epic, because both Kobo Plus and Kindle Unlimited compensate independently published books by the page turns. But that's not always true in traditional publishing. Sometimes there's just a flat fee. So when you're buying an ebook, you have really no idea how much the other is getting. And that's okay, as we've already said. In some cases, if you are buying a self-published digital product, that author is doing better than mm-hmm. a traditional book, because they don't have to split it with the publisher. And yeah.
And so I guess the answer to the letter writer, the person who asked you this question, would be, if you really, really love me, what you would do is you would buy a digital ebook, and then you would go to the trouble of finishing the book and looking at every single page.
Well, actually, if you bought it with your credit card, it doesn't matter if you look at every single page. If you borrowed it.
Oh, if you're an unlimited, right, of course.
Right. If you borrowed it in any kind of subscription plan, then it does matter. And then actually, sometimes some of the private agreements between publishing houses and Amazon just have a threshold. Like if somebody gets to like 25% or 30%, then it counts as a read. But we're not, again, privy to those exact specs,
right,
because it's a bilateral contract between Amazon and big publishers. So these things are murky. Mm-hmm. They're difficult. It does help, though, if you are an author who is published by any kind of publisher, to read your statements and look at the relationship between the number of units that you did in any particular format and the royalty that you made in that format, so that you can come to an understanding for yourself which thing is paying you the best. And what that will give you is an idea of which link to share first.
Right.
Like,
where to put your energy.
Right. Where to put your energy.
So my answer to this would always be just from my perspective, and not knowing the numbers as well as you do, my perspective is always, it then, if you could, you know, purchase the hardcover when the book first comes out and preferably as a pre-order, that's like the holy grail right there. Like,
yes,
not only am I getting the most, but the pre-orders are really lending themselves to help all kinds of things. We have gone into this in previous episodes. I'll try to link to an episode where we talked about why pre-orders matter as much as they do, but they really, really do.
That's what I should have told this lovely questioner, saying, like, you do whatever you want, but if you pre-order, you're my favorite. Mm-hmm.
I do love you a lot if you pre-order. It makes a huge difference. What's really fun about it also is if you are able to go out and make, like, for authors, this is something I did that was really fun. When The Addiction Inoculation came out, I had a couple of bookstores where I had a special link for if people wanted it signed. And so I would go in and I would sign the books, the pre-orders, and the bookstore would mail them out. So a local independent bookseller. And then you get like a place on a board up on the back of the bookstore that says, like, our top sellers, you know, this month are. And, you know, that was not just a point of pride. It was also helping a local independent bookseller. It was also really fun and exciting to get to personalize, you know, signed copies. So that's like my big dream scenario, is if you can get people to pre-order signed copies that are then mailed out by your local independent bookseller, that's like hitting all of the good stuff.
It is. And I have had a brief crisis of, I don't know what to do here, when I'm setting up an elaborate pre-order campaign like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly I'm sent a link to Barnes & Noble's pre-order sale, which they do mm-hmm. a couple times a year. And I'm like, oh no, what do I do? Where do I send people? Ah. But of course, every pre-order is a good pre-order. So,
is there anything you wanted to add about the independent authors versus traditionally published authors? You said you wanted to elaborate on a few differences.
Well, indie authors are pricing their own books. And that is also something that that I would like people to remember. So sometimes I see people on social media bemoaning how much money they're making on Ingram. And the reason this comes up is because if you set up a paperback for sale on Ingram or and Amazon and you put the same dollar price on those paperbacks, you will make more money at Amazon.
So could you remind our listeners what Ingram is?
Ingram is a printer, but also a huge, what do we call?
Wholesaler?
Wholesaler of books. So these are both very viable options for authors, but there is no law that says you have to put the same dollar price on the book at both places.
Mm-hmm. Well, and deciding your price point for audio is, for an ebook. Right. Your price point for ebook, we've had lots of conversations about, like, it would be great if it was right in this sweet spot. And that sweet spot seems to have moved a fair amount in the past couple of years.
It has. And yeah, that's hard. I used to, 10 years ago, you saw a lot of ebooks at $2.99 and those are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything's gotten higher.
Yeah. So to sum up, the answer to this question is we just love it that you want to buy our books.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes, we do.
Yay, go buy them. If you can support your local indie, that's great. If you can buy in hardcover, that's fantastic. We know not everyone can. They're really expensive. But we just are grateful that people want to read our books. So thank you so much for for reading them in any format. And that includes at your local library.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Is there anything you would like to add, Serena?
No, I've chattered on about this topic quite a long time.
Well, I'm glad also that we can, wherever that question came in, we can ping them on maybe on social media and say, yay, we answered your question in long format. We will be coming back to you with another Nerd Corner because these are just so much fun. I feel like I learn a ton when I do this. And that's because Serena is such a whiz-bang expert on a lot of this stuff, and I'm incredibly grateful to you for that. You've helped me learn so much about the publishing industry and how it works.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there's a few nerdy things like this that I have had to learn, and I am happy to share it with you.
All right. Until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.